Well, we started on this, and I'm going to continue. We talked about our covenant, and I spoke also on Wednesday on the blood of Jesus, the blood of the covenant. And today I want to talk to us about circumcision, the covenant of circumcision. If you would open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. And how many remember what a covenant is? A covenant is an agreement between two people or people groups that involves promises on the part of each to the other. Now, the word covenant is mentioned 236 times in the English Bible, and over 200 times in reference to the divine covenant. And that's what we want to talk about. How many know that God is not a covenant breaker? He does not break His promises. He keeps His promises. He is a covenant-keeping God. Now, before we read in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 23, after Solomon had dedicated the temple, he had prayed, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like You, who keep Your covenant and mercy with Your servants who walk before You with all their hearts." Solomon, regardless of his failures, was a man of faith, a man that believed God. And you and I in Christ have been grafted in. We have come into the covenant in Christ through His blood. And something takes place in our hearts when that happens. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Now, that's very basic to most of us, but it's very clear that old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. It's a new dawn, a new beginning. The day spring from on high has visited us, amen, and He's come to dwell within us. A light has dawned in our hearts. That's salvation. And if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ in him, he is not his property. It's not about performing some kind of church ritual and going through the motions, singing the songs, doing all the church stuff. It's about a personal relationship. We know this with Christ, being born of His Spirit. And something takes place that's very profound in our lives when we are truly born again. And so we don't want to be deceived, as some are deceived in thinking that somehow God's going to accept them because they're such good people. Now, goodness should follow those who follow Christ. Yes. But our goodness does not qualify us for His presence. We have to come by way of that way that He has made available to us. There's only one way for us to come to God. Amen. And that is through Jesus. That is through the blood of the covenant. The blood of the agreement in His blood. As we celebrate communion, as we partake in that, it's not the communion of elements, it's the communion of Christ. We have communion with the Lord in our hearts. When we are born again, then we can truly become worshipers of God. Prior to the giving of the Spirit, men and women would worship God in an external fashion. But after the Spirit has come, we can then worship Him as the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can worship Him in spirit and in truth. People who have not truly been born again, are you hearing me, cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's why some folks, they come and they sit and they look and they observe, but they're not there because they have not truly been born again. When you are born again, something changes inside of you. There's an awakening inside of you. There's a spirit in you now called the Holy Spirit. And He cries out, "Father, Abba, Father." There's a crying out from your spirit where you are drawn to your Father. You're drawn to God by the same Spirit. People who do not worship God are not born of His Spirit. I'm going to say that with authority today. I was in association for years growing up in church and yet never had a personal encounter with God that changed me. The light had not been lit. I was around the light. I felt the light. I saw evidence of the light, but it was not in me. And I thought by association that kind of made me a shoe-in. You know, Judas was a man who had been with Jesus. He was a man that had partaken even of the anointing. He'd gone out and did the same things the other disciples were doing. But he was in association, but there was no transformation. And unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And so this covenant of circumcision, we're going to read about in chapter 17 of Genesis, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old. Anybody feeling old today? The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. That's the kind of God we serve. Do you know that God wants to do that for you too?
Yes.
Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. Again, that is an agreement between two people or people groups that involves promises on the part of each to the other. An exchanging of promises. When we're married, what happens? There is a exchanging of vows. It is a covenant, and it is a blood covenant. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants, verse 7, after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. You see, man is good at making agreements, making covenants. But we're not very good at keeping covenants. We're covenant breakers. Now, as believers, we should not be so. Would you agree?
Yes.
Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, and all of the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Now, many people have their children circumcised and don't really understand why, except for medical reasons, maybe because they say it's cleaner. But it's a choice. Some people choose not to. What this was pointing to was something eternal. It was speaking of something that was going to happen inside the hearts of people someday. And so what happened in the natural was fulfilled in the spiritual in Christ. The things that were written before in the old were types and shadows pointing to the fulfillment who was Christ Jesus, who would come and fulfill all things that were written of him. Jesus came in the fullness of the book that was written about him. Everything Jesus did was in agreement with the Father, was in fulfillment of the Father's plan. And all those things that had been written before, and all the areas of sin in our lives, the areas where we had fallen short, the areas where we had sinned against God, and even though some people had come close to living a perfect life, no one has been able to except one. Only one lived a sinless life. And that was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that is why only through the blood of the covenant, through Jesus, His pure blood, can we receive remission or forgiveness, amen, of sins, and to be restored to a right relationship with our Father in heaven. This covenant meant a cutting away or a removal. And it says in verse 14, the uncircumcised male child, who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, listen to what he said, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now that's pretty harsh. That's pretty strong. But there's a reason why that God gave these people instructions. Israel was to represent God Jehovah to the world. Would you agree? They were not to be the sole recipients of the blessing. They were to be the conduits through whom God would move and touch the world. You and I today are not to be the sole recipients of the blessings of God. The promises that God gave to Abraham, we are recipients of in Christ. But we're not to be the sole recipients of that. We are to be the people who are to give, amen, to the world around us and to let the light of Christ shine through us in such a way that they will say, that's what God is like. But when we compromise and we're in bed with the world, there's no witness, there's no light, there's no salt, if you will. There's no flavor in our lives. And when we compromise, we can lose our testimony. We can lose our effectiveness. And so what has to happen is, as believers, we have to be set aside. We have to be separated unto Christ. We have to be circumcised internally in our hearts. The outward act of circumcision was pointing to something. And it's pointing to the new covenant in the blood of Jesus, where the Lord says that I will remember your iniquities no more. Aren't you glad that when God forgives you and I, He forgives you? It is settled. It is done. You don't have to drag that thing around anymore. If you meant business and you confessed and renounced your connection to it, if you truly repented, you changed your mind about your sin, do you know that God has forgiven you and you don't have to pick it up? You don't have to accept it back from the devil. He's an accuser of the brethren. He just wants to condemn. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe what God said. I'm going to believe the report that God has given about His Son. When I believe what God says, I am agreeing with the Holy Spirit. And when I agree with the Holy Spirit, I open the way for the grace of God to work effectually in my life. Are you with me? Do you want the grace of God in your life? Just start agreeing with God. Start believing what He says. And Lord, I'm going to agree. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care even what it feels like. I'm going to align with what You say. I'm going to believe what You say. And how many have discovered when you start to believe God, it pleases Him? Yeah. As a matter of fact, you cannot please God except you believe Him.
That's right. Yeah.
You ask people, well, how do you please God? Well, going to church, you know, praying, reading my Bible. No, you please God by believing Him.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you believe Him, those things will follow.
Right.
When you believe Him, there will be a release of the grace of God. Hallelujah. So circumcision was an outward sign of inward dedication to God. And it was first given to the Jews because they were God's chosen people. They were to be separate. So we know that in circumcision it required a cutting away of the foreskin. It signified the removing of the flesh or sin nature. In 2 Peter, we read in verse 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. The first thing we need is to hear the word of God. We need to hear the message. Are you with me? And of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given as a gift to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What part of all don't we understand? All things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, Here it is. By promise, even as God had promised Abraham, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How do you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust? You escape it through the circumcision of your heart. It is a work of grace. It is a work of the Spirit of God. It's not a work that I do. It's a work that God does when I believe what He says. It's about believing God. It's not about working harder, striving harder. It's about believing God. God simply wants you to believe what He says and come into alignment, come into agreement with Him. And when you do, the work of grace happens in your life. I was convicted of my sins. I realized that I was separated from God. I realized that I was on my way to hell. And I realized that the only hope that I had was to turn to the only one who could save me, and that was Jesus. It was a work of grace by the Holy Spirit to convince me and make me aware of my true condition. If we don't become aware of our true condition, we will never repent. Repentance means I changed my mind. I was going in that direction and I've turned around. I'm doing a 180 degree turn. I'm going back to God now. Jesus sealed this covenant in His blood. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Not near by my performance. You see, as long as we're in that mode of performance, we're in the place of works. When you're in the place of works, the next thing that follows is condemnation. You condemn yourself because you see that you pale in comparison to God's perfection. So therefore, salvation comes as a work of God's grace in our lives. Not of me, it's of Him. It's not the fruit of my spirit, it's the fruit of His Spirit. My life will reflect Christ as I walk with Him. As I abide with Him, my life will reflect Him. There are many who are struggling, folks, with sin, besetting sin. And it's due to a lack of understanding of how God works in redemption and how it's not a struggle to be free from sin. What it is coming to a knowledge of the truth that sets you free. It's not working harder. It's coming to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of the truth. You shall know the truth, Jesus said. He said, I am the truth. Listen to these words that I speak to you. They are spirit and they're life-giving. Receive my words. Believe what I say. And you'll have it. Get out of the place of saving yourself. You'll continue in your bondage. You'll continue in your addiction as long as you're in that place. As long as you're in the place, I'm just striving, I'm just working. What we need is the revelation, the revealing of Christ. We need to understand who He is, what He has accomplished for us, and who I now am in Him. It's an identity problem. We don't have to live out of the old identity. If you're in Christ today, there's been a separation in your heart. There's been a circumcision in your heart. So now you live in that new life. You live in that place of intimacy with Him, walking with Him, abiding in Him, not putting any faith or trust or in what was. We ignore, we deny what was. We don't allow it to pop up its head anymore. I forsake what was. I forsake death and I walk in life. I consider myself indeed to be dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. Are you dead to sin today?
Yes.
Why? If you've been circumcised in your heart, it means that Christ has come in. If Christ has come in, He has made you into a new person. a new creation. So now I say to the old life, dead. It's not my identity. My mind now has to be renewed by the Spirit of grace through the Word. So now I begin to realize that that's not who I am. I don't have to live and believe that anymore. Come on, are you with me? Because then we struggle and we fail over and over again. And you get free for a little while because your willpower can only do so much for you. And it doesn't matter. If you go to the counselors of the world, they just tell you, try harder. And often we do that to ourselves. There was a young man I met yesterday at the men's meeting. And there was a... He says, well, I'm just, you know, he's a brand new Christian. And I commend him for that. He has a heart. He wants to serve. He wants to love and he wants to honor God and please God. He says, I just need to work harder at it. Well, that was a divine opportunity. I mean, God, really, the Holy Spirit just dropped it right there. And it was like, I was able to share some of this with him and say, listen, that's the problem, is you are working at it. I said, when you become a pursuer of His presence, when you seek God, I said, your flesh, man, your flesh life will lose all of its strength, all of its power, all of its luster will turn to rust. You will realize that there's death in that and I don't want anything to do with it. And I'm not even tempted by it when I walk close to God. When we say, Lord, deliver us from evil. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Well, how are we tempted when we're drawn away by our own lusts? How do we overcome? By drawing near to God. Isn't it true? When we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You don't even want to do that. When you start to find yourself being tempted and kind of wanting some old things and some old lifestyles and some things are being offered to you, it's a sign that you're being weak spiritually. You're weak. That's why it's absolutely essential that we stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit put that in there for a reason. It's not so we can memorize and say, well, that's a neat scripture. But we need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? By agreeing with God. You're either in Christ or in the flesh. You're either in Christ or you're still in the Adamic nature. You're in Christ or you're in Adam. There is a very clear separation with Christ when we're born again. So you're either, I want you to hear this, separated with Christ or separated from Him. That's it. There's two people. There's people who are separated with Him. And people who are separated from Him. If you are in Christ today, you are separated with Him. And so double-mindedness is when we are trying to live both lives. And it's usually because we have a lack of understanding of our new identity. That we begin to sometimes live in the new identity and the old identity is still there that we give attention to. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So here we are, we're talking about circumcision. And in the Old Testament we saw it in type, but now in Christ Jesus it's a reality. The circumcision is internal. Romans 2:29 says, but He is a Jew, that means God's people are heirs to His promise, who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. When we are in agreement with the Spirit, we are worshipers of God. Are you with me? When we are in agreement with the Spirit is crying out, Abba, Father. There's communion. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's because we are in His presence. We come before His presence with singing. We enter His gates with thanksgiving. We walk in a place of thanksgiving every day. In all things, give thanks, Paul said. Why? Because thanksgiving is remembering God's faithfulness, believing what God has done, what God has said, our testimony, if you will, and thanksgiving produces praise. Genuine praise brings His presence, His glory. Amen. And in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence, no flesh shall glory. Your flesh life, amen, that old sin nature can never glory if you are a pursuer of God. If you seek Him, hallelujah, your old nature has not a chance of dominating you. Why? Because you're no longer under that. You're now in Christ. I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. I'm now walking in the spirit of life in Christ. I'm walking in a new life, in my new identity. Old things have passed away. Every day you have to put your hand up and say, old life, speak to the hand, you're dead. Amen. It's a new day, a new beginning. So who are the circumcision? We are the ones who worship God in spirit. So what happens is there was a veil, if you will, over our hearts before we came to Christ. We cannot understand, we cannot know, we cannot perceive the things of God except by the Spirit of God. And there's a veil, if you will, there's like a barrier over our hearts. And Christ removes that barrier when we turn to Him. You see, that was what was happening under the law and under the Old Testament. Remember the temple veil. Only the priest once a year, the high priest, could go behind the veil and not without blood into the most holy place. And at the cross, Jesus conquered. Amen. He overcame. Hallelujah. And when He died, He said, it is finished. And the veil in the temple was rent, meaning the way into the most holy has been opened up to us. And what happens now is that because you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit, there was a veil over our hearts at one time until Christ broke through. Like the old song, until your love broke through. What would I have done? We sing that song. If it wasn't for your love, the love that tore the veil inside my heart. Whew. I once was blind, but now I see. The light of Christ has shone into my heart. Hallelujah. There's been a circumcision of my heart. That veil's been removed. At one time it didn't make sense. At one time I thought it was foolishness. But now my eyes are open and I see that this is the way of life. And when the veil is removed, that person is then enabled to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's no longer is the old outward covenant in effect because it was done away with by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The veil was torn. That which had separated us from God's presence has been removed. Hallelujah. Through Christ's death. A person who's never been born again cannot worship God. It's only an external worship. And there are a lot of people, folks, that populate the churches every Sunday morning that are just doing that. It's an external worship because the veil has not been torn. They have not been born of God. And unfortunately, in many cases, they're not given the true way to God. And so they go around thinking that they're doing God a favor by showing up on church day and doing their church thing. And their lives are not changed. What they're doing is they're simply trying to add a new, piece of cloth to an old garment. You're trying to patch themselves up. Isn't it right? And many people have done that for many years. They were just trying to patch their lives up, going through counseling, going through this. And listen, even sometimes the word, it's like just trying to patch me up. But folks, unless your heart is circumcised, unless you're born of God, you are not ever going to get there. You will constantly be defeated. Jesus said it, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We must turn to God with our whole heart and let the Holy Spirit remove the veil. The light of Christ will shine. And that's what we've been talking about this morning, Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Listen, that we, having died to sins, it is finished. Having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit convicts us because He wants to release grace in our lives. Amen? He makes us aware of our sin so that we'll turn to Christ for mercy. But the enemy is an accuser. He wants to accuse you so that you and I will start to accept the accusation as though it were true of us. And whenever he accuses us, it's always for condemnation. It's not for life. If you're a believer and your hearts are being condemned, folks, I want to suggest to you that you're probably listening to the wrong voice. Sometimes you just got to flat out say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Get away. But folks, I tell you, it's something even better than going around rebuking the devil is draw near to God. Yeah. Walk close to God. Hallelujah. And he don't want to be around you. He don't want to be around people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. So we need to stay filled up because he can't deal with the glory of God. He can't deal with the anointing. It doesn't mean that we don't have sin. It's very clear, amen? But it means that you must rule over it and not allow it to rule you. Are you with me today? Romans 6:14, where it talks about sin not having dominion over you and that you're dead to sin. It means that you are not to allow it to rule you anymore. You don't have to allow sin to rule you anymore. If you're in Christ today, there's been a circumcision already. There's been a separation in your heart. That's why it says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. So that you're walking in the new identity, the new you. And every day you just reckon or consider yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God. That's victory. I believe what God said. I agree with truth. Truth is what sets me free. I agree with the Lord. So how do we have victory? Once again, I'm going to say it. By worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. By the Word and the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hoping that you'll get hungry for His presence and realize that if you just constantly beat down and defeated, you know, sometimes we can come to church and there's some that struggle with this. They say, when I come to church, I always feel so free. I feel so good. But as soon as I walk out that door, it seems like I'm just right back at it again. What's going on? Folks, sometimes it's because you're in association. Because the presence is here. And other times, it's only when you're here that you're really seeking God. Do you understand? We have to seek God daily. We have to worship Him daily. We have to walk with Him daily. And when you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify your sin nature. You won't do what God disapproves of. You won't even want to do that. Why? Because when you walk with Jesus, you will love Jesus. And people that you love, you don't do things that grieve them. It's not about, I can't do this or else. It's because I don't want to do this because I love God. And I know that me doing this grieves His heart. So I choose to follow Him. I choose not to do those things that grieve Him. But only those things that will honor Him. Because you and I, folks, even though there is still a purpose for natural Israel, I believe that we are the spiritual Israel. Those who have been circumcised in heart are the true Israel. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. All are one in Christ Jesus. And those of us who walk in Christ are the ones who are now to demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God on the earth. God wants to reveal Himself through the fruit of His Spirit, through the love and the joy and the peace and the good things that God has graced us with, the things that He has placed within us by His Spirit. Hallelujah. When we are sanctified in our hearts, when we are separated in our hearts, when we're walking with God in the Spirit, those fruits will come out and the world will say, that's what God is really like. When we have sanctified the Lord God in our hearts and we have been filled with His Holy Spirit, there will also be accompanying signs that will follow them that believe. There will be manifestations of the power of God on the earth. How many know that we need to be demonstrators of the power of God on the earth? The world needs to see the reality of the kingdom of God, that it is not pie in the sky. It is here among you now, living in the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ is in us. And He wants to come out. And He wants to touch the world. Hallelujah. Through us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Once again, Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Get yourself out of that place, all right? Be a pursuer of God. Be a seeker of Him. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. As you walk in the Spirit, you'll have victory. All right? One more thing. One illustration here. I read this somewhere. But there was an evangelist who had been approached by a man who said, how do I overcome sin? Well, he showed him a cup. It was half empty. And he took and he poured water into that cup until it was full and overflowed. You see, when your life is overflowing, there's no room for anything else to get in there. Do you see why we need to be pursuers of Him, seekers of God? Hallelujah. I mean, with passion, we should be pursuing God because He's our life. He's our victory. He's the overcomer in us. The only way we're going to overcome is that we yield to the overcomer. Let Him rule. Let Him be Lord of every day, every decision, every moment. Hallelujah. For to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, thank you, Jesus.